and thank you for tuning in to Faith Worship Center's weekly sermon. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by this week's message as we all live to bring more of heaven to earth.
Well, you guys, next week is Christmas Eve. Wow, it's going by so fast. 2023 is almost over. I just can't wait to say good riddance, 2023. And 2024 is coming. And I believe that the Lord, I believe that there's going to be a new level of walking in Jesus in 2024. I really feel like there's something the Lord has put on my heart. In fact, the scary thing for me right now is like there's five things that the Lord has put on my heart. And I'm tempted to expose them all in this one message. So this is kind of like a shotgun message, probably. It's going to be scattered into different segments and different sections. But, oh, man. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Paul is an amazing apostle. Paul was, as you know, he was persecuting the church. He was a zealot for God. And he was going about trying to eradicate the earth from the false prophets and false teachers and the people that were discrediting God. And so he was zealous. He was going around locking up the church, putting them in prison. And he had complete permission from the Roman government as well as the Jewish leadership to lock up believers. So he would actually, they had to go into hiding, you know, to have their meetings in small homes so they wouldn't get found out. And he would actually break into these homes and break up the groups, throw them in, you know, I don't know what they used for handcuffs back then, tie them up, take them off to prison because they were, you know, apostates. They were bad. They were not good people, according to Paul. And then, you know, it was like here Paul's on this journey to like persecute all the Christians and all the believers and get rid of the bad, false stuff that's going on in their teachings. And within seconds, he encounters God. And he's a completely different person. Completely different. His life is reversed. God puts a call on his life, begins to pour revelation into his heart. He begins to understand things that the ones that followed Jesus for all this time didn't even get themselves. The Holy Spirit reveals to Paul certain things about believing, about following Christ, that Peter, John, James, and some of the others just never even captured. And he captures it and he writes it all down. And one of the beautiful things that he writes is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 17, when he says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." Triumph. Not defeat, not agony, not suffering. Triumph. I sat next to Joyce this morning. I like sitting next to Joyce. You don't know Joyce. Hi, Joyce. Joycey right here on the front row. Joyce, just an amazing person. I sat next to her today, and we were watching a show on Netflix of someone who had a stroke and all that they had to go through to try to regain their speech and try to regain their strength and everything. And I didn't realize the level of endurance that Joyce or stroke victims have in order to get out of that hole. And so I sat next to her and told her, "Man, Joyce, you're just a trooper, man. You're fighting this good fight." And then I took the moment of time to pray for her and come up against the thief that would try to rob her body from progress and going forward. So we have this balance that we go through where we see those that have been hurt, those who have been robbed, where we want to reach out in compassion and in love towards them, but at the same time recognize that a thief has gone after their life to try to rip them off. It's not their fault. It's not who they are. And Joyce just leaned her head up against my shoulder as I was praying for her on this way, and she's just like full agreement of just saying, yes, I want to be restored. I want a supernatural restoration. And that's the hope that we get, you guys. This is what we've been destined for. This is the triumph in Christ that we get to have. And I love the fact that the SOZO team, right, or the healing teams that we have on Saturday, not just Saturday, but even prayer after the service every week, the healing teams, you know, people come up with these major, big, impossible issues. You know what I mean? Like impossible for man to get through, right? And they show up for prayer, and the healing teams just says, oh, you know what? God has a better report. His report is he's a victor and he's triumphant over all things. And we just release that over people and see people break through. Yeah. Now, thanks be God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. And I want to highlight on this for just a few minutes that we are to God the fragrance of Christ. All right? And who's we are to God the fragrance of Christ? We, he's speaking of himself. He's speaking of the believers. He's speaking of the church, the very people that he was against, the very people that he tried to shut down. You know, he tried to shut down church. And there are people still trying to shut down church. And you know what? It's like, forget it. We are a community of believers who are together and who are so focused on our Savior and on our God and on the lover of our souls. Good luck trying to shut us down. We ain't going anywhere. We're firmly planted on the foundation. But this is the thing that I wanted to really really point out is that we are to God, okay? To God, in his eyes, in his perspective, in his heart, you and I are the fragrance of Christ everywhere we go. Yeah, have you ever had someone think something bad about you? Huh? Anybody in here besides myself? Yeah, you know, right? And you know, you've got all kinds of people's opinions charging at you and breaking out against you. And you know, not to mention all the lies of the enemy that swarm us almost every day on a daily basis to try to throw us into confusion, disorientation. You and I are to God the fragrance of Christ. What other opinion matters? Seriously, who cares what anybody thinks about you? I mean, technically, yeah, okay, we care, right? If we didn't care, we probably wouldn't get dressed in the morning. We'd be walking around like unashamed naked, right? If we didn't care. A horrible picture to even imagine. So we have this dual thing going on. We do care about what people think, but at the same time, it should not change who our identity in Christ is. And listen, I've preached this in fun so many times in the past. You stink. We stink. We have a fragrance about us that stinks to those who are perishing. And we have a fragrance about us that smells incredible to those who are coming alive. Okay? Paul, before his days when he had an encounter with God, Christians stunk to him. He could not stand their stench. It's like the Matrix and the agent. And he's sitting there with Neil and he says, I hate this place. This place stinks. I can't get the smell out of my nose. No, I'm not going to do that again. It's like, that's how the enemy feels about us. You stink. Your stench smells my hell. And to God, we are the fragrance of Christ. We need to stink bad to the devil. We just want to fill his nostrils with our fragrance so that he's reminded of who the victor is. Jesus the Christ, the risen one. So that's why I say you stink. And for no other reason. An interesting comment, a little tidbit. This is definitely a bunny trail I probably shouldn't be going on, but I'm going to go on it right now. Why not? I don't care. I'm the aroma of Christ to God. So if I offend you, sorry, you know, take my apologies sincere. I've hunted almost all my life. In fact, I shot my first deer when I was 16. And my dad used to take me hunting. I can remember going goose hunting with him in Northern California. And we would be sitting out in the frigid cold. My toes felt like they were going to fall off. And we're sitting in these blinds out in the middle of a large field. And the geese are flying overhead. And it's like, why am I here? I was probably like 8, 9 years old at that time. And something in me just likes to hunt. I like to hunt. I like the taste of venison. I like the taste of wild game. I like all that stuff. I feel like it's organic. Why not have fun with it and hunt? So I've hunted for a good... And the thing about hunting is I like to bow hunt. That's my favorite, archery, because you have to get really close. You have to trick the prey. You have to get really close to an animal. A deer has 5 million sensors in its nose. It can smell a human being 500 yards away. And you think you're not stinky until you get out in the woods and you realize you're not seeing anything. And I'd say probably the last 8 years, in fact, I know it's been the last 8 years, I hadn't gone hunting because I was so tired of going out and sitting for hours in the cold and not ever seeing anything. And so I begin to just think, I think I stink to the deer. Maybe it's just my age, I'm getting older, and I must stink. And I begin to entertain this lie in my head about how I smell to the animals. Like, they're not coming anywhere near me. They must smell me without me even knowing it. And I do everything to try to mask my smell. I really do. It's not like I go out there with toothpaste in my mouth or anything like that. I'm trying really hard to mask my scent so they don't smell me. My clothes are stuffed in black bags with leaves and pine needles, and I've got special spray that I spray myself on. It's supposed to cover the human scent. And so for like 8 years, I'm seeing nothing, hearing nothing, absolutely just wasting time, at least, and that was my opinion. So I finally told my kids, I'm done hunting. I'm all done. All done. 8 years ago, I said, I'm done. I'm done. It's over. This year, I decided to go out. And I went hunting, and I actually got a deer. Yeah. A really nice deer. Broke the drought. Thank you for applauding for me. That's a wonderful. You guys, after this message, you'll know how to hunt. it's just, I don't know what to say other than it was bow, and it came in right towards me, 10 yards, I was on the ground, right towards me, 10 yards, looked right at me, didn't smell me, just kept right on going and provided, that one didn't provide a good shot for me. That was the first one that came in, and then I had 5 more behind that one that came in. And when I saw 6 deer walk by me within 10 to 20 yards, I knew I didn't stink. They don't smell me. This is a good thing. And I shot the 6th one that came in. Anyway, having said all that, for whatever reason, I don't know, other than the fact that we are a fragrance, You're a fragrance everywhere you go. People are sensing you. They're feeling. They're reading you. They're picking up on things in you. Have you ever had someone ask you, how you doing? You ever had someone ask you that? How you doing? How you feeling? And you say, oh, I'm doing fine. And they say, really? They're trying to read you. They're trying to pick up on you. Trying to sense something there. Because we are a fragrance. In God's perspective, in God's idea, in God's heart, He just says, you guys who believe in me, you're incredible. You're more than amazing. Right, Serena? What is it? More than amazing? Unstoppable. You see, being a follower of Jesus it's just that. It's just that. We follow Him. He was unstoppable. We're unstoppable. It's not about what we do or what we don't do. As a matter of fact, as Serena was doing the words, I had a word for all of you, and I think we're just going to open this up right now just to see if there's anybody in here that this fits the category. And we're not doing this to break any shame. We're actually doing this to set you free from shame. Is there anybody in this room who feels insignificant? Stand to your feet. You just have a feeling that I'm really not doing what I should be doing. I feel like I could be doing more. I just feel insignificant in what I do. I feel unnoticed. I don't feel like people really see me. I don't think people really know me. I know that I know the truth, but at the same time, I kind of feel like the truth is hidden from me right now, and I'm walking through a place that's pretty dark, and I don't have the right perspective about myself, and I know that. So stand up. We're going to just give you a couple more seconds. And then we're going to just release deliverance and freedom over this house. All right, Lord, you see who these are right here who are standing. You know their hearts. You know their honesty. You know where they're at. And because of their honesty and because of their hearts, I just release right now your forgiveness over their lives. And that you would just break through for them. That they would see their significance and understand that they are the fragrance of Christ. That whatever lie has been trying to penetrate them to show them they're insignificant, you'd break through that lie right now with your truth that they are the fragrance of Christ in your perspective, that you love them and you see them and they are not insignificant in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Yeah. I just felt that earlier, and I just thought, let's just go for this. Okay. Now, the book of Job is an amazing book. Anybody ever read the book of Job? It's said to be one of the oldest writings in the scriptures, even before the time of Abraham. And to me, it's been always interesting. In fact, as a matter of fact, probably in the early 80s, people used to quote from the book of Job to validate their experience and to validate their hurting and their suffering and their pain and their poverty and everything else. They would just, you know, quote Job as if it was, you know, their truth for their life. And Job's got these friends, right? And these friends are coming. They're trying to explain to him why he's going through the suffering that he is and why he's in the place that he is, right? And he's broken. I mean, he's just totally devastated. Read the story. You know the story. It's just horrible what happened to Job. And he's broken. He's sitting on an ash pile, you know, scraping his boils to try to get some relief to his pain. And his friends are coming around. They're giving all kinds of advice. And they're just talking all kinds of advice to him, like, Job, you know, this is because you lived this way. It's because you weren't paying attention to the poor. It's because you weren't doing this, you weren't doing that, you weren't doing this. And they're going down all this should have, shouldn't. And poor Job, man, he's just like, he's getting bombarded with insignificant stuff hammered at him. And you go through the whole book is going on like this. This guy is suffering, this guy is hurting, everybody's trying to diagnose his problem and boil it down to something that he has done wrong. And then God shows up at the end of the book. You want to know what God says? This is what God says. Shows up at the end. The Lord answered out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" It's amazing. So back in the 80s, when I saw this, I realized, wait, people that are like quoting for Job and people that are like using what Job's friends were saying as solid truth, God considered darkened counsel. No, I'm serious. And you know that darkened counsel, it kind of makes sense to our heads. You know, if you're in a place where you're really hurting and you read it and you go, oh, yeah, well, maybe that is what my issue is. God says, darken counsel. Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? I love this scripture. I just love this. When I laid the foundations of the earth, tell me if you understand. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened, and who laid its cornerstone? I love the poetry of this. I love the verbiage of this. And it's like God is just exposing this whole dilemma of us trying to figure us out while we're here on this earth. Why'd you have to go and make things so complicated? Right? It's like we feel like there has to be something more complicated than this, you know? Where were you when God laid the foundations of the earth? Jesus showed up in a manger, homeless. He shows up in a manger, humble, born the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He grows up. He dies the Savior for the world. And he's resurrected the victor and the triumph for the world. And in John chapter 17, in his prayer, he says, "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me." And then listen what he says. "For you loved me before the foundations of the world were laid." I read this scripture last week and I was pondering this scripture and I thought, well, excuse me while I think out loud, but this is just how I think. What was going on before the foundations of the earth were laid? Right? Well, do you know? We like to, you know, we like to think we know it all. Trust me, you don't know it all. When I was in high school, I thought I knew everything there was about Christianity. I'd gone to every Sunday school class that you could ever attend in church. Every week. Story after story after story. Read the Bible. heard sermon after sermon after sermon. I was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, and any two-week revival crusades that we would have at the church, I was there. It was always, always, always. And when I got into high school, I thought I knew it all. I know everything there is about Christianity. Oh, my God, what a lie. It's like the devil had prepared this huge lie for me to buy into so that I would think I had arrived in my knowledge about God. And as soon as you get to that place, you plateau, baby. You're on dangerous ground. You think you know it all, you don't. There's so much more to know. Where were you when the foundations of the earth were laid? Right? Where were you? Jesus stands. You loved me, Father, before the foundations of the earth were even laid. Whoa! And he pops open a window. A revelation. Before the foundations of the earth were laid. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, 4, we were chosen to be in Christ before the foundations of the earth were laid. And in chapter 2, he says, we've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. Woo! You want some identity, that's your identity, right? And it's like, heavenly places? Seated with Christ in heavenly places, and this is the reality. The reality is if you think you know everything, you have earthly stuff going on. You don't get it all. There's so much more to learn. And I believe what's going to be happening in 2024 is the windows are going to pop open. And the things that we're going to begin to learn and understand are going to be scary to our critics. We have critics, they're going to freak out even more. Because the Lord never wanted us to walk on mundane. He never intended for us to live on this earth and have only earthly knowledge. He intended us for us to spread the fragrance of Christ everywhere we go. We smell really, really good. It's right, Paul, the guy who's trying to shut down the church, gets a revelation that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, that before the foundations of the earth were laid, God chose us to be in Christ. Get that. That's who you are. That's who I am. No limit there. And that's why I believe Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Perfect theology. Perfect theology. Jesus Christ. And him crucified. Are you ready to be rocked? Are you ready to start having people come up to you when you're in a shopping mall or in a store or at work, and for them to come up and say to you, you smell really good today. What's that you're wearing? Are you ready? Be ready. In and out of season. Angela Moore, we were having our prayer nights a couple years ago, and Angela Moore said, it's time to take off your COVID pants. It's time to get out of a COVID mentality where we're isolated and we can't talk to anybody and can't see anybody and can't smile at someone. It's time to get out of that fear that you might catch something. And it's time to get out of the knowledge that we were made to spread something. Not a disease, but the fragrance of Christ. Let's all stand together. By the way, God goes on for the next, he goes on for the next three chapters up to chapter 41 to describe some of the things that took place before the foundations of the earth were laid. Amazing revelation. One of the things he asks is, were you there when the sons of God sang with the stars? Mysteries. Mysteries. Trust me, if God intended us to know everything, he would have given us the book with everything in it. But he gives us a book with truth, and he gives us a book that shows revelation. And then he puts us together, and he says, now work it out. We were with our leaders recently, and I sat down with the scripture in front of me, and I just read just the first sentence of the scripture. And it says, love without hypocrisy. And it goes on to say a lot more, but I just stopped right there. Love without hypocrisy. That's what we get to work out. And we get to work it out all on this planet. Not just for one another, not for just family. We get to love without hypocrisy. What an honor to walk in that and to do it together. Father, I thank you for this house. I thank you for the people here. I thank you for who they are. I thank you for who they represent. We bless this house, Lord. You called us before the foundation of the earth were laid to be the fragrance of Christ, and that we have the mission of Jesus Christ right before us in our hands. Where Jesus said, those who believe on me will lay their hands upon the sick, and the sick will recover. They will cast out demons, and the demons will flee. They will cleanse lepers. They will raise the dead. So we get to take care of people, and we get to do it without hypocrisy. We get to walk in you, and we get to love in your truth. I thank you for your favor. I thank you that your favor rests upon us. Thank you that your favor rests upon this house. Thank you that all the critics get to criticize and all the lovers get to love. Wow, Lord, thank you so much. Truly in this season, give these guys a really good week. May they just be able to relax and get through the season in a way that brings honor to you, knowing that they are your fragrance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit faithworship.org.